Well, praise God. That sounded pretty good to me.
I believe the thoughts that I've had are, I think we'll see that they actually harmonize very well with things that I've been having roll around in my head. And I'm just trusting the Lord too. Here we are again. It seems like the Lord has had me lately where the more I try to organize, the more it kind of dies, and I have to back off and just let the thoughts come. And that's all right, because you know the Lord has to deliver us from ourselves. And I'd like to just start in an odd place in the last chapter of Daniel. I'm not going to read a lot of it, but I'll just refer to it. Daniel was a prophet who was allowed to see many things in the future. Many of them had to do with the future of Israel between his time and the time of Christ, but he also looked beyond. And at the end of the book, he's kind of asking questions. Oh God, where's all this going? Help me to understand. And many of the things that he talks about, I mean, some of them go right all the way to the end. He talks about a resurrection, doesn't he? Talks about a day when the righteous will come forth and the wicked will come forth. Sounds exactly what the New Testament says. It all happens at the same time. And but what I'm trying to get to is one verse, and it's verse 10. Well, I'll read verse 9, because this is the answer to his question. He replied, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined. But the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand." And I believe that the sense of where I'm going with this is the wise will understand. And I believe, first of all, that the principle that he enunciates there, that he is told, is certainly one that applies to every era of history, doesn't it? There's really two kinds of people. There's people that are so embedded in the world and so deaf to God's voice that all they do is seek for the things of this world. They do not understand why they're here, why the world even exists. Because God has a purpose. These are things we've talked about many times. God has a purpose to build a family. But he has allowed this world to fall into exactly what Brother Steve mentioned, that namely we have a nature that is totally contrary, cannot possibly participate in his purpose. But what he's looking for is a people who will be willing to give that up in exchange for his own life, his holiness, his character, and all those things. And if people do not get a hold of that here, that is the end. But I believe this applies certainly in our day, and I believe we are getting closer and closer to the end. As things we've talked about, I believe we're seeing it. We're seeing the unfolding of what the Lord is allowing Satan to do. We're seeing the people of the world who don't understand, who are just going on in their own way. What's really sad is the degree to which religious people, so many religious people, are really in the same boat. They just have a veneer of religion. They're seeking what they want. They're trying to use God, or they're coming up with an easy believism gospel where they just kind of say the right words and they claim to be Christians. But yet you do not see it reflected in their life. God has a purpose to change us, to make us into his image, to give us his spirit, as we've heard this morning. And I'll tell you, if we're born of his spirit, there are going to be some changes made. We sing the song, "There'll be some changes made in you and me, and the truth of God will set us free." So I'll tell you, this is maybe a backdrop for looking at a very familiar scripture over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But remember this, many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. So you're either in one category or the other, it sounds like to me. You're either somebody who doesn't get it and is just living for this life, or you're living for something else. You're living for another life that God has promised, but that process involves a process of purification, of being made spotless and refined. And we see this principle in the prophecies, in the words about where God is going with this in the New Testament. Is there not a day when his work will be done? There's a day when everything he has planned will come together. And God will present us and say, this is what I have been doing. Let the people of the world see, here are my sons and daughters. I finished everything that I have intended to do in this world in their lives, and now they are ready to share eternity with me. Remember the exhortation to husbands in one place. I believe it's in Ephesians. I'm not going to turn there. But where he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might purify her by the washing of water with the word, present her to himself. There's a purification process, a people that God is going to get ready. Anybody here have the power to get ready for any of this? No. So it sounds like to me we're going to have to be a people who understand what God is doing and are willing to cooperate with it. And sometimes that's a real challenge, isn't it? Not sometimes, it's always a challenge. But that's what it's about. And I praise God for his faithfulness to his purpose even when we're not. God is so faithful. So anyway, God is working towards a day. He is using this current world for a people, to use it to prepare me, to prepare you, to prepare everyone who has his spirit inside. There are changes that need to happen in you and me. So anyway, Paul, I'll jump a couple of chapters beyond where Brother Steve was reading, because it really, you know, Paul is carrying a theme through. He's defending his ministry against people who had challenged it. But in the process, we get an insight into what Paul was about and how he lived and what he lived for and how he did what he did. And so, I think we need to step back and see that this is not just something for Paul and for the ministers, for the big people, the important people. And we have too much of a concept of that where we forget that every member of the body of Christ is a minister. Every single one of us is meant to be that sweet-smelling fragrance that we just heard about. Now, is there anybody here who can just let your human nature be expressed and it come out smelling sweet? It doesn't work that way, does it? So if that's going to happen, there's got to be some changes. God has got to go to work on us, and we have got to be willing to present ourselves. We sang about it this morning. That living sacrifice so that he can begin to work those changes in us so we can become the people that he wants us to be. And it's not just about what we will be then. This is not some individual thing where we're meant to go hide in a cave and say, God, change me. He changes us in relation one to another and for the purposes of ministering one to another. Every one of us has some form of life being expressed through us. And, you know, Mom, you're a minister to your kids. Dad, we're ministers to those that we're around during the day, in school. Wherever we're at, we are in contact with other people. We're in contact with the members of the body of Christ. Something is coming forth. And obviously, it isn't always good, is it? So I need this morning. I need the Lord to change me. But we're not the only ones. Paul went through this same process, and he went through it with the kind of understanding that we read about in Daniel. God doesn't want us just to be dumb, complaining, whatever. He wants us to be so in tune with him, understanding what he's doing, why he's doing it, and actually joyfully cooperating with it. I'll tell you, it makes life a whole lot easier when we can do that. But anyway, so Paul is speaking of his ministry still in the beginning of chapter 4. This is a scripture we've used many times, but I'm praying the Lord again will make it fresh. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose hearts. Right there you've got an attitude, don't you? There's obviously he's going to be going into some reasons why we could become discouraged and lose heart. But it's because he sees the big picture. He sees God has done this. God has called me to himself. He has given me something that is way beyond anything I could have. And because it's coming to me, I didn't earn this. He loved me anyway, in spite of all that's wrong with me. This applies to everybody that comes to him. And because of all that, I don't lose heart. Now, I'll just drop this in here. You will see repeatedly he says the word we. Who's he talking about by the way there? When he says we. Well, he's talking about all of us in one sense. But I mean, in the context of this, who is this book written from? You go back to the first verse and you'll see it's Paul and Timothy. So you've got two men of God who are being used in the ministry to the body of Christ, and they are testifying together of what it takes to fulfill God's purpose. That sounds like wisdom to me, doesn't it, to you? That sounds like somebody who is in tune enough with the source of wisdom to say, I understand what this planet is about. How many people understand that? How many people understand why we're here? You know, you look at Philippians 3 toward the end of it, and you will see Paul talking about people who are enemies of the cross. What did that mean, to be an enemy of the cross? What does that mean? It means they refuse to die. It means their value system is dictated by what their nature wants. And they are going to relentlessly pursue those things, even though they're living in a temporary world, in a life that they cannot keep. They're still, that's what their life is defined by. But there are others who are citizens of heaven, willing to look beyond this and say, God, do what you have to do so I can be part of that. I'm laying my life down. I'm giving it to you. That's what coming to Christ means. This easy believism where you just sign on the dotted line and you're a Christian, that doesn't get it. This is what it means to belong to Him. But what a blessed place that can be and is. All right? So Paul is going on and says, rather we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In the sight of God. I just dropped this in, one little thing that, you know, there's a whole lot of religious people out there that are just arguing about stuff. What a waste of time. God is going to call His people. He longs to express Himself and His life through us. We don't have to strive with people trying to buttonhole them and get them in. We just need to let the light shine and realize that there are people who will respond to that. There are people who won't, and we're not in control of that. When Jesus ministered, He didn't sit there and just strive, how can I get these people to follow me? He said, will you go away? He knew that there is a God who calls people into His kingdom. He knew that God had the power to open blind eyes so they were able to see that this is not just the voice of a man. This is me talking to you through that man. Amen. That's what it has to become. It has to become that. And so Paul's ministry and Timothy's was defined by this. I just simply am a mouthpiece. God speaks. God is working. And all I do is just set forth the truth plainly. And then he says, and even if our gospel is veiled, that is, you can't see it, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And we've talked recently about why people get in that condition ultimately. Yes, we're blind to begin with, but God has the power to open eyes. God has the power to confront a human heart and say, this is your condition, this is your need, this is my provision. And then what men do with that, whether they harden their hearts to it or whether they surrender, defines everything. That is a turning point of eternity. But I'll tell you, if people harden their hearts to the truth, they wind up in a condition from which they cannot escape. It gets to that point. And then the devil has control. That's where our world is headed. But listen to Paul, of all people on the planet that no one would have suspected of ever getting it and becoming one of God's people, here is a man that was relentlessly fighting against Christians and persecuting them, doing everything he could to stamp out this terrible new thing that had come along. And God puts His finger on him. Praise God. Do we have a God who can do anything? So he says, Praise the Lord. It was the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves. That's another good point. We're not the message. Who we are and what we are, that's not the message. But Jesus Christ as Lord. A lot of people wanted to call him a Savior and make the Lord an option. It isn't that way. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness. See, that was his choice, his decision, wasn't it? To absolutely say, let there be light, and there was light. Made his light to shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. What a thing it is when we open our hearts, when God comes calling and knocks, and we say, yes, Lord. It doesn't have to be coming to an altar. It doesn't have to be any outward thing, but there comes a point of surrender. I know Joe knows something about that, don't you? And several others, their testimony has nothing to do with coming down to a bench. It has to come to a point where God speaks, and you know in your heart there's something there, but there's an enablement to respond. We can't even respond in our own power. We need God's help. That's what grace is about. Grace comes and influences our hearts and calls upon us to yield to that power. And as we do, we find we have the power to believe and to repent. That's the only way it happens. And boy, it happened with Paul when he met the Lord. Now, his conversion was pretty dramatic, wasn't it? But God had a pretty dramatic calling for this man. And that's what he's unlocking, what that involves. What does it mean to serve God? What does it mean to be a Christian? That's what he's unfolding here. So anyway, now he knows something. He knows the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and his life is transformed. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, these bodies, to show that. Now, what's the purpose of that? Why does God manifest himself through us in that way? What's the purpose is to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. That's what's wrong with so much religion. It's done in human energy. It's people coming up with ways to expand, grow the church, expand the ministry, build the program. God help us to have no other aim but to say, God, whatever you will do through us is good enough. You're the builder of the church. You didn't call me to build your church. We need to have the same heart that Jesus had, that simply gave out the message, let God open the hearts of the hearers as he would. That's exactly what Paul's sense was as he went out. He just said, I'm not called to do anything except give out the message as the Lord gives it to me and to do it by the anointing, as we've heard this morning. All right? But the power is from God and not from us. All right? So here's how this unfolds in the life. And Paul gives us a summary here, and you can almost kind of blow through this as though, well, this was like a five-minute deal. Paul is summarizing a lot of things that happened to him that made this possible for him, for God's life to flow through him instead of Paul's. Paul goes through it in such a way that it almost sounds like this is a quickie little thing, and he just sort of blew problems off. He didn't, did he? You go back to chapter 1 and that we've referred to so many times, and you realize the depth of what he went through, that he thought he was going to die, but he learned a lesson, didn't he, through that? What did he learn? To rely on God, not to rely on himself. These are not things you can go to seminary and learn and have. You can learn the concepts, but to learn it, to learn how to give expression to what God wants, to his spirit within us, or to move in the energy of the flesh, we don't learn this any other way but in the school of hard knocks. So that's what life becomes about. Did not Daniel say many will be purified and made white and refined and all of those things? You see how this is working out? This was God's way of saying, this is how I'm going to fulfill the purpose for which this earth was created in the first place. I'm going to use it as a refining tool to prepare a family to share eternity with me. Are we willing to be refined? Do we understand? Are we among the wise who get this and are willing to cooperate with him in our lives? All right? So now he gives us a summary of some of these things. He says, we are hard-pressed on every side. Do you suppose that was just a quickie little event? This is something Paul experienced all the time. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. So what in the world is all of this about? Why didn't God just make it easy? Why didn't God just give him the message and say, go proclaim it. I'm going to just put you in a wonderful, comfortable, strong place. No one's going to be able to touch you. If God had done that, what would have come out of Paul? What would have come out? Self. What kind of a spirit? See, when Jesus ministered, his words were not just words. He said, the words that I speak unto you are spirit and life. Every one of us ministers something. And if what God is talking about through Paul here does not happen progressively, I understand, in our lives, what will come out of us will not be a good thing. So here's Paul recognizing and testifying to what it takes to serve God and to be a minister. But again, remember, you're a minister too. We associate the idea of being a minister with standing up here and talking. But every single member of the body of Christ, if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, there is something that is meant to come out of you and minister life to somebody else. That's what the body of Christ is about. Teachers and all those kinds of things, like we read in Ephesians, are designed to bring the whole body into this, so that every gift, every ability that God has designed everyone for is able to come forth. You know, we need to be in prayer that God will help us to get this in such a way that the next generation especially will really have it and go on and serve God and understand what the angel was talking about when he said that to Daniel. This is what this world is about. If it's about anything else, it's not going to come to anything. So anyway, what is his summary of all this that he said is going on? He said, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. You know, we just heard about baptism and what that really means. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, but what it is my own yielding to that, my own participating in that, I'm giving my life to become one with him that his experience might become mine. I am willingly laying down the life with which I was born into this world in order that I might possess another. That's the whole deal in salvation. But here's Paul living out this life. So now, but he's still in a human body, isn't he? He still has a body that wants to do the wrong thing. So how do you handle that? What in the world do we do with that? So he says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. That's where God's going with this. And as I say, every one of us is expressing something in our relationships one with another. What is it? That's something to think about, isn't it? You know, you think about a faucet, and a faucet is meant to typically dispense water. And in order to do that, it has pipes that connect it to a source. Now, if you connected the pipe to a sewer, that wouldn't be good, would it? But if you connect it to a source of really wonderful, clear water, that would be a good thing. The problem is, if we are simply giving expression to human nature, that's exactly like turning on a faucet and getting sewer water out of it. And so think about, which source of water is your faucet connected to and mine? See, God has to do that. This is not even something where we can do something and make it happen. We're going to have to submit ourselves into God's hands. When he says the wise are going to be refined, We don't refine ourselves. We allow ourselves to be refined. There's a refiner. God is a refiner. God is a purifier. God is going to invade your life and mine and do things that will put a stroke of death, that will apply a stroke of death to those things in us that are not of Him. And His purpose is so that we will be free to express the other. You know, Paul, just like I say, he lists all these things off, and you could just read right over it, and it's just like, okay, boom, 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 it's done. This is a testimony of years and years and years and years of deep, trying experiences. The one referred to so many times in chapter 12, when God had to let him go through a time of terrible oppression. The purpose Paul came to understand was, I was in a place where I could easily have become proud. And here I am wanting to serve God, but what happens to that if pride begins to get in the way? Then I'm not really serving Him anyway. So since my desire is to serve God and He's planted that in my heart, thank you, Lord, for knowing me well enough to do what you just did for me. God, I thank you. See how it changes our attitude if we understand. We can say, Lord, do what you have to do. Do whatever it takes in me to make me the kind of person you want me to be. Of course, we've never heard any of this before, right? Does anybody here need this? Yeah, I certainly do. You know, what is it that's coming out of us? As I say, is life at work in the people around you because you're there? It's a sobering question. Because we're inclined to sort of make this our spiritual time. You know what I'm talking about? But what happens the rest of the week when something goes, is not the way we want it to be, and this and that and the other? Do we lash out in anger? Do we just give vent to human nature in our relationships with others? Speak a harsh word, critical word, gossip? Do we give vent to those kinds of things? Is that what's coming out of us? Do you think maybe the Lord is concerned about that? Do you think if we were wise, we would say, Lord, I need you to fix this. This is not what you saved me to be. You saved me to be your child. You saved me so that sweet perfume could come out. Lord, I don't have any perfume. See, that's where the world is at. They're going to cling to what they have and call it perfume. Well, it's stinky perfume, all right. But I need everything that originates in the nature I got from Adam. I need it. I need to be delivered from it. And if that takes weakness, if it takes whatever it takes, God is faithful. And I want to have a heart that is so in tune with His wisdom that I say, God, you're the refiner. Go for it. Because I know you're going to give me the strength and the grace to go through it. It's not by my power anyway. All of this is meant to release His power. And when Paul listed off all of these things, why do you suppose he was able to say, this happened, but? Why could he say that? How did the but get in there? Remember, we've got to get our butts in the right place. That means God was there using that, giving him the strength to turn what looked like a terrible thing into a positive thing. And so Paul was able to see not just the thing that happened and get so lost and so involved and buried in that thing, self-pitying and all those things that we're so prone to. He didn't get lost in that, but he was able to see the purpose and say, God, you are my strength. You did this for a reason so that I could better serve you. Anybody here want to better serve the Lord? I mean, we say we do, but do you realize what that means? Or are we just hoping to slide by and sit in the pew and wait till Jesus comes? Yeah. And especially in this hour, God has a people in the midst of a world where the wicked do not understand and they're heading for the fire. God has a people that are being refined. God is finishing the process. And everything He will allow in this world is to do that process. You know, I've said it before, the devil must be awfully frustrated when he stops to think about this, if he really gets it at all. that he is only a tool. Whatever the devil is allowed to do to administer death to us only sets us free if we get it. Do you understand God's wisdom in allowing things to be as they are in your life and in the world? See, we want to be a good thing to have this wisdom fixed in our minds and our understanding. We're going to be facing a lot of things in this world. I want to face them with a positive spirit that's able to look beyond. I want to be able to do what Jesus said when he said, lift up your heads. A lot of people are ducking their heads and hoping bad stuff will go away. But I'll tell you, God is working and he's doing something that is amazing if we're able to see it. If we have the wisdom that's from heaven, we can see past all of this. And we can have the spirit that Paul had. All right, so he understood that the life of Jesus was to be revealed in our body. So here he puts the basic principle out there. This is God, this is divine wisdom that the world hates. But he says, for we who are alive are always being given over to death. See, Paul's not doing this or engineering something. He is being given over. God's doing it. God's bringing various circumstances to bear on the life so that God can do what he sees needs to be done. We who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. What does the word mortal mean? Subject to death, isn't it? Mortician is somebody who deals with dead people. So you're talking about death. This body is built in. It's already dying. Death is here. It was said so plainly this morning, we have a temporary life. We're born dying. But this is a different kind of death where the nature, we are dying to the nature. We're joining him and wanting his life instead of ours. Is that what you want? I trust. All right, so then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. And I'll say again, what is at work in the people with whom you interact? What do they see? May God help us. Anybody here have any needs in this area where we don't always express Christ? That's not what people see in our personal relationships one with another. What does it take for that to happen? God has to do things and allow things in our lives. But when they happen, what is our attitude? Do we understand why? And do we say, thank you, Lord? And do we say, Lord, make me more like you? I mean, in other words, are we acting in accordance with the wisdom that is from above? That's where Paul got to. And this is the testimony that we need to see in his life. This is what wisdom looks like. This is what the word that was given to Daniel looks like in action. Okay? So what's Paul's part in this? Does Paul just sit there and bellyache and complain and say, God, fix it, I don't like this? Or does Paul say, I get this? It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. So in other words, here's Paul not just recounting all of this, but there is a spirit of faith. There's faith there. But where does this faith come from? Where does real faith come from? It comes from the Lord, doesn't it? Is this something you were born with? No, I had to get it from him. This is someone who not only understands, but is willing to step out and cooperate and say, God, I believe you in the midst of whatever you bring. I know you love me. I know your purpose is being worked out. I know that you are putting to death things in me that will hinder why you called me into your kingdom. It's not just so I can be somebody there, so I can be somebody here. In order for that to happen, stuff in me has got to go. And you're the only one who knows how to make it go. So thank you, Lord. I believe, in other words. There's a lot of folks that when something bad happens, you know, one of the things that Jesus spoke about in that parable, the sower, was it? One of the kinds of soil that the seed, the word sprung up in, was rocky, wasn't it? Didn't have a lot of earth. And what happened was it came up real quick. You can get somebody to get all excited, and, oh, I want to go to heaven, I love Jesus, I'm glad he did all that for me. But they have no depth. They have no real understanding, and the roots get down to a certain level, they just can't get any further. And Jesus likened that to people who hear the word and they grab hold of it and they love it. But when persecution comes, when trouble, when anything negative comes along, I'm done with this. This isn't what I signed up for. Folks, if you signed up with Jesus, you signed up to die. But you also signed up to live forever. And you signed up for someone who was going to give us the grace, not only to just muddle through and endure, but to triumph in the middle of it. Praise God. Praise God. So whatever's going on in your life, God wants us to lift up our eyes. He wants us to see it with that spirit of wisdom that we read about in Daniel. Okay? So he speaks in a word of faith, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Praise God. Do we get so embroiled in our lives and the things that are happening that we lose sight of the big picture and where we're going and all this and why God's doing it? I'm right there with you. I need this. I need, when I feel bad or when things are going a way that I would prefer they didn't, to say, God, you're doing this for a reason. You love me. And I surrender to your plan. I surrender to your power. Lord, I know your grace is with me to help me right here where I'm at. But God, thank you that you love me enough not to leave me in the condition that you found me. Praise God. Does anybody get this? I believe there's many who do. Thank God. All right? Now, all this is for your benefit. So that's another characteristic of being the kind of people that God has called us to be. It's not about you. It's not about me. Jesus didn't come to become Mr. Big and have everybody bow down. He came to be a servant, didn't he? He gave up everything, including his earthly life, to become a servant to us. And that's what he calls us to be to one another. Lord, give us that kind of a heart. The only way I can have that is for him to work in my life and change me. Because if I simply follow my own inclinations, I'll be anything but. It will be all about me. The truth is, if I have anything, it's for you. But if you have anything, it's for me and it's for others. There's so many of you that are such a blessing. And you don't have to be up here and talking to be a blessing. The Lord lives in you and he's done a measure of work in your life. And you are a blessing to the body of Christ. But God wants us to grow in our understanding, in our spirit of cooperation with this. See, Paul, God had the part. God was the author of all of this. But Paul's part was to understand it and to say, yes, Lord, and cooperate with it and say, not only do I understand it, this is the way I want to go. And I worship you, Lord. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, now here's another choice, and this is something we've said so many times. There are things that God calls upon us to do that ultimately are a choice. If you're waiting for the feelings, you may be waiting a long time. God calls us to make choices. And this is where he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Do you not think that there were times when Paul could have easily just thrown up his hands and say, and given up? He came close. He felt that way many times. But yet God gave him just enough grace and faith to say, wait a minute, I'm not giving up. God is on the throne. He's called me to this. He told me this is what it was going to be like, and I'm trusting in him for the strength that I need right now. And he is faithful. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly, and these are scriptures we've used so many times, but that's okay. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Do you know what that's what the Christian life is meant to be about? If there's not something dying in you, God's got some work to do, doesn't he? If there's not characteristics of your earthly life that aren't from him and that get in the way of your interactions with other people, our interactions with other people, God's got some work to do. And we need to say, Lord, do what you need to do. I get it. I want to be one of the wise who gets this. I don't want to be one of the wicked that just wants my own way to the point where I'm going to cling to that. I need you. Okay? Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And that's where Paul put the emphasis on it, in his heart. He recognized that, yes, there are things that are happening to this earthly life as I lay it down. But in the process, the very same time that God is doing this, he's doing something down in my heart, and he's changing me in a way that I could not be changed any other way. He's getting the garbage out of the way so that life can flow. He's reconnecting my pipe from the sewer to the source of real life so that when I stand before people, life comes out. God help us. I confess my need. I pray some life is coming out. All I can do is just give out what the thoughts that I've had and just trust God, because it's not in me to be up here. I would be real happy if somebody had really had the message and the life from God. I'd be delighted to sit and listen to it. But I want to be faithful to anything God gives me, because it's not about me. It's about you. It's about his people. And so now he's talking about the effect of living in this world and the fact that we have troubles. For our light and momentary troubles, that puts them into perspective, doesn't it? Why are they there? They are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. What is the pathway to this glory that God has promised us? Something's got to die in order to have that. Something has to be given up, and we do that on a day-to-day basis as God deals with us. So we fix our eyes, again, there's a choice here. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Is that your perspective today? When things happen in our lives that we would prefer didn't happen, are we wise enough to say, Lord, you know what you're doing? Lord, you love me. You have my best interest at heart. Jesus, my Savior, laid down his life so that I could have life at all. And he's called me to walk the same path that he did, to lay down my life daily and to become a servant to my brothers while I'm here. And what you are allowing me to experience is necessary in order that something might die in here. What that means is not that it just totally goes away. As long as we're in these bodies, we're going to have parts of us that want to go the wrong way. But what it means is that we die to it. It has less of a hold on us. I believe there's many of us here who have been down the road serving the Lord long enough that we can remember things that had a hold on us until God took us through something that maybe was very difficult. And you come out the other end, and that thing doesn't have quite the hold that it did. Isn't God good and God merciful? Can't we see his purpose in that and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm going to praise you in this. I'm going to make sure my butt gets in the right place here, because I know, yes, something terrible had to happen. Something difficult had to happen. But I see the grace that is bringing me through that and accomplishing something eternal. And that's what matters to me. Now we know, beginning of 5, that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed. Now what's the earthly tent you live in? It's our body, isn't it? He likens this to a tent is a temporary place, isn't it? Isn't that an interesting piece of imagery right there? I realize there are cultures that live in tents, but we think of something permanent as a house that you build. Out of solid material, a tent is a temporary thing. That's what this life is. If there's anybody here that doesn't get this, I pray that God will open your heart, because you are living in a tent. And one of these days that tent's going to be burned up. if you don't get this, if God doesn't open your eyes, I pray that He will. He's a merciful, loving Heavenly Father. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan. Okay, so here we are. Here we're back here. We got things we got to go through. Longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. It's a whole lot of words there, but basically, God's putting us through stuff so that we can die to what won't live anyway, won't last anyway, and lay hold of that which cannot die. Isn't that amazing that God's life cannot die? Do you have that life this morning? Praise God. Now it is God, now you get down to the very purpose. And this, I think I'm going to finish here. I don't think there's a whole lot needs to be said. I don't know. I don't feel any great something this morning. I trust the Lord's in this. I know it's truth, but you know, we need to hear the Lord. I mean, this needs to be not a bad example of what I'm talking about, does it? We need the Lord to give life. And that is what He longs to do for you and for me. And there's only one way that comes, and it comes by death. It comes by our willing to receive the things that He would touch in our lives. When God brings you face to face with something that touches that very area of your life that you'd rather He leave alone, that's God's love and mercy. And the way through that is to surrender and say, "Yes, Lord, I understand why You are doing this. I want Your life to come forth in place of this. I want to let go of my anger, my resentment, my bitterness, my impatience, and all those things that so readily jump up in our lives. God, I want Your peace. I want Your love. I want Your grace. I just want that good water to flow out. Lord, come." It isn't just people like Paul. This was every believer. What would it be like if Jesus lived in every believer and flowed through and flowed out? Do you think we'd experience a lot more than we're experiencing of God and His presence and His power? But this is the way to get there. God's going to do stuff. He is going to bring about circumstances that challenge us. And what He wants us to do is to understand, to have the wisdom that Daniel spoke about, to understand why, so that we can say, "Yes, Lord, I'm seeing past this. I understand why You're having to do this. Let me die so that I might live." Now, it is God who has made us for this very purpose. That's the only reason He created you in the first place, so that you could find this and experience this. And has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Brother Steve spoke about baptism and receiving the Spirit of God, being literally born of God's Spirit, becoming His child. That's what it's all about, folks. I'll tell you, that Spirit that comes in is what makes all of this possible. It's not by my power, it's by His power. It's by His strength and by His grace that I can grow up into Him and learn and become more like Him, because we're not. By nature, we are not. But I'll ask you this in harmony with what was said this morning and last week. Do you have His Spirit? Have you been born of that Spirit? Because every person that hears this is in one category or another. Sooner or later, that's going to become evident. You're either one that's part of the world, describes them as the wicked. They don't get it. They don't understand. The reason they don't understand is they don't want to understand. They're in love with the world and with their nature and its desires. But God is bringing forth a people that He is refining. He is working. He is changing. He is doing that which is necessary to set us free, piece, bit by bit, by painful bit, of those things that come from our old nature, so we can experience His freedom and His nature. And I'll tell you, it's going to get more intense as the days go on, as we get closer to the end. God is going to finish the work, is He not? He is going to finish the work And there will come a day known as the day of Jesus Christ when His work will be complete. May that come soon. But in the meantime, Lord, I understand why You have to do what You have to do in my life. Do you? Do you understand why life can't always be smooth and easy? It's gotten quiet. Either this isn't the Lord or none of you get this. I don't know. Is this the truth? Yeah. Do we want life to be easier, or do we want life? I want life. I want You, Lord. Come. Give me the grace to be able to rise above it and rejoice and praise You and thank You in the midst of it. I want to be like Paul that not only gets it but loves it and says, this is awesome. This is the way it's supposed to be. And I'm going to testify to that fact. And I'm going to encourage others to know this is why this is happening. God is preparing you for eternity. And He wants you to be a repository of life right now. Do we need this? In the midst of the darkness that's unfolding in the world, yes, we need this. Let's let God work in our lives, and whatever means He chooses to use, let's just say, God, Your grace is enough. Just like Paul said in chapter 12. Paul had to learn. It wasn't like he thought. It wasn't when I feel strong that I'm strong. It's when I'm weak and I just have to rely on Him that I'm strong. Because then it's not my strength, it's His. I want to be able to live out His life and not mine. And left to myself, I've seen just enough of the ugliness to know that it's not a good thing. We need Him. Isn't He wonderful? Isn't He faithful? God is so merciful to us to come when we were lost, when we were blind, when we were lost in sin, had no hope, to come and for Christ to live as a sacrifice, to come as a man, to have the life that you and I have, and then willingly lay it down and say, Father, I give it to You. That's the life I want. And He came so He could share that with us. But the process of growing up into that is not always an easy one, is it? But it's worth everything to serve Him. It's worth everything to be born again. Thank God. So, I don't know. Like I said, I didn't feel any electricity running up down my spine this morning, but I'm trusting that God, you know, will speak and encourage us and help us to have some of that wisdom of which the Lord spoke to Daniel. Because everybody is in one category or the other. We either understand what's going on and we're willing to cooperate with it, or we're going to go the way of the world. I'm believing the best for those that are listening right here. I believe God's at work in your life. But do you understand? Are you willing to cooperate? Life's a whole lot easier, even when it's tough. Life's a whole lot easier when we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Do what it takes to set me free, because I know where I'm going is better than where I've been. And I don't want to just live a selfish life. That's human nature. I want life where I can be a blessing to somebody else. Not because I try, but because You're there and You flow out. There's a perfume there. I can't make that perfume, but You're the only one that can create it in me and let it flow forth. Every one of you is meant to be a minister of the Spirit of Christ to every other member of the body of Christ. And I believe that's exactly what the Lord is doing. Praise God.
Praise God. I appreciate this morning, because I tell you what, in the hour that we're living in, we need to be reminded who we are in Christ and the exact purpose of why He has put us here on this earth. So I'm very thankful for what has come forth, because this is not the only place I've heard this message come forth. The same message is going throughout the world, I believe, of who we are in Christ. You know, and the other thing, I believe what the Lord is doing right now, I haven't had a scripture on my heart last week after the message last week, but here at the end of 2 Corinthians and 13, it says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I was thinking about that, well, what is the test? Well, you know what tests us is the truth and the Word of God. That's where you put your life up to. You put it up to Jesus Christ, and then you realize, whoa, that life is way different than mine. God help me. God, come in and take control. Renew my heart, my mind, my soul. Save me from who I am and make me into what you want to be. And that's what we've been hearing this morning. Because a couple of other thoughts I had, I hope they're from the Lord. But, you know, if this 2 hours right here is all that we're participating in with the Lord, we're going to be a very emaciated Christian. That's just the fact of the matter, because we're here to be encouraged, and it's great to see our brothers and sisters. But whenever the word is given that we can look back to see what was going on. So if we go all the way back to where the people were getting brought through the desert, you know that they went out every day because God supplied them with something? You know that God wants to supply each and every one of you with something. Today, tomorrow, he's got something fresh for each one of you. And guess what? It's not just for you like we've heard this morning. It is going to be that you have something to share with someone else. That is what the church is all about. Get rid of this building. I tell you what, we come in here, this is great, but we are the building of Christ. Yes. We are the temple. You and I. Yes. We may not, like it's been said, we may not look at it like it at times, because just like Phil, I know your weaknesses because I've got the same ones. We all suffer the same afflictions, man. They are accomplished in all of us. If we don't think that, we need the Lord to open our eyes. We fail in so many ways. But praise be to God, his grace and his mercy is changing us. But he wants us, I heard this testimony. You know, God wants us to work together with him in this process. It ain't just sitting on the pew like we heard today. God wants us to work with him. So you know how we work with him? If we pick up our word and read it, he's going to quicken stuff to us. It's going to help us. It's going to energize us and give us a power to live out what he's called us to live out. And that was very, I heard this testimony. This guy's working on the river, right? He's working there. And these people are stealing what he's working for. They're stealing fish out of his traps. Well, you know what he did? He rides up there fast with a shotgun. Get out of here, chases them off. Guess what? They continue to come back and forth. They go back and forth. Well, one day he's reading his Bible, and it says, feed your enemy. Guess what he did? The next time, he said he rolled up there with a shotgun. He had it there. But you know what he did? He fed them. Guess what? It was in the Word of God. He did it, and God took care of the problem. They stopped stealing his fish. I mean, that to me was, whenever God says something, he wants us to do it by faith, man. And then he comes and backs it up, and he lives through us to do it. But praise God, I just appreciate this, because I do believe that this message was for all of us. It was for me, I know, because God, he's working on us. He's patient with us. Praise God for that. Don't you need patience? Don't we need patience with each other? Praise God, we need patience with each other. And we can be patient with ourselves too in this process. So don't be so hard on ourselves, but let's ask God to actually change us. And then when he had put something before us, let's be willing to say, God, I ain't liking it, but I love you, and I love you above all else. I'm willing to lay down what I think should be happening and just take you and go with you hand in hand. Praise God.